So we've done a bunch of B comic movies. We've talked about them on the show. We've done Mordred.
We did the made for TV movie Man Thing.
We even did the Fox TV movie Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., starring David Hasselhoff.
But I think it's time that we talk about the big one. That's right.
The primer.
The Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Not the Fantastic Four, and not Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, and not Tranktastic Four.
Let's go way back to 1994.
Very infamous, unofficially unreleased Fantastic Four movie from 1994, which has been... This is kind of legendary. So, hey, this isn't something that, like, three people have heard of. This is new for us. This is great.
Woo! Let's go. Let's do it.
It's clobbering time.
For real?
For real.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Kyle.
I'm Brian.
I'm Clobberin' Merc.
Oh, he did the thing.
We did it
the first time. We all said we were Clobberin', and then we just left it out, and Merc still gets to be Clobberin', and we're just regular Brian Kyle getting clobbered.
He took all the Clobberin'. I knew he was going to hoard all the Clobberin'.
And he took all the Cobblerin'.
I wanted some of that cobbler. Damn it.
Yeah. It was Peach.
The finest of the cobblers.
The finest of the cobblers. You know, a lot of experts disagree on which of the finest of the cobblers are, but we're here this week to tell you it's Peach. If you don't like Peach, get fucked.
And with that, let's go to the news.
Current Zero News Flash.
So, to start off, Dark Horse, you're familiar with them. They make comics. They make comics such as Alien, no wait, never mind. And Predator, no wait, never mind. And Star Wars, no wait.
Were they also releasing Conan?
I believe they were releasing Conan.
Not Conan O'Brien, Conan.
No, they were also releasing Conan O'Brien comics. And Disney also bought those, strangely.
I hear he went to the Hellfire Ball. He did.
That's true. But yeah, Dark Horse Comics has made a new sort of subsidiary or portion of their company called Dark Horse Games, which is specifically designed to take some of their lesser known IPs and sort of reimagine them or redevelop them as video games first.
Okay.
Like, that's the thing they're going to be known for is, this might not necessarily be a widely known comic, but the goal being these are widely known games.
Right.
And also to sort of, you know, move to try to sell off some of their other stuff. Not sell off, but work with developers to make bigger
diversify
stuff for some of their better known properties like Usagi Yojimbo or Hellboy. So if we're going to get like a Tenchu or Sekiro style Usagi Yojimbo game, be pretty cool.
I hate to tell you this, but Usagi moved to IDW over a year ago.
Oh no.
Well, they still got Hellboy, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
You know what we need to do is all three of us, we need to pitch something together to Dark Horse because I think they might need some stuff.
Do they get is Black Hammer Dark Horse?
Yes.
Is it now? Check again.
Yeah, really. No, over a year ago, it moved to IDW. Yeah. Also in the news, there's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the second installment of that movie is coming out, and Issa Rae has been cast as Spider-Woman. She's quite known from the Black Lady sketch show. She's an actress and producer of that show. She was in Insecure. She was actress, writer, and producer on that show. The Choir, she was a writer and producer on that. She seems to be one of those like super multi-talented people that like does a little bit of everything and is doing quite well. So Spider-Woman has been cast voice-wise. So, woo!
I mean, there's been a bunch of Spider-Women, technically. I'm assuming it would be like Jessica Drew.
Yeah, the pictures that at least were associated with her were the Jessica Drew Spider-Woman.
There have been like 700 Spider-Women, though. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where they go with that, I have no idea.
Especially that movie, they might just pull, who knows who they'll pull. Matthew exactly. Franklin. Don't.
Well, I mean, they could pull multiple Spider-Women.
It's true.
Yep.
Into the Spider-Woman verse.
Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse with the symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of a hyphen. Instead of a hyphen. Oh.
They don't want Peter there at all. No one really should.
No. It's kind of a jerk.
You might know McFarlane Toys has been making the DC multiverse, like all the DC action figures and stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of Batman toys.
Mostly just that, yes.
Yeah.
A few others. Sometimes you get a Nightwing on sale and you enjoy that
Nightwing.
A good amount
of Wonder Woman toys.
That's true.
Mostly Batman toys.
Mostly Batman. So, in breaking news, McFarlane's making new Batman toys.
Surprise, surprise!
The zany reaction is appropriate, my friends, because they're making a line based on the Batman 1966 live-action series starring Adam West and Burt Ward. And there's a 6-inch scale. The multiverse is like a little bit taller than that, so they're sort of a bit smaller, I guess. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just trying to make them cheaper or something.
Maybe they'll fit with the rest of my collection. That's cool. Thanks, McFarlane.
That would be good. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And they're all just Burt Ward. It's like 14 Burt Ward.
Burt Ward getting an ice cream cone.
Him trying on the Adam West suit. Like, this doesn't fit.
So yeah, they put out a promo image that showed Batman and Robin and the Joker in the Batcave with the Batmobile. And so sometimes they just sort of like, you know, fake out this stuff just for promotional purposes. But the Batcave had, like, there was, like, a noticeable, like, articulation hinge. Like, it's an actual playset that, like, folds up, much like maybe the old Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I don't have any money, but I am going to go into debt for this. Absolutely do this. Because I have the old Mattel ones that are the same scale. I'm not gonna rebuy toys, but a Batcave? A 60s Batcave? I can't resist it.
That's fair. Great news.
I guess that's the news.
Great news, everybody.
Great news. Hey,
wrap it up.
Great news. Now hit the showers.
Welcome to the warm up.
Welcome to the warm-up, everybody. We are covering the infamous 1994 Fantastic Four unreleased movie.
In the warm-up, too?
No, not quite, but something somewhat related, but not quite related enough to get away with it. I'm going to be doing a little quiz.
I'm not trying to catch you in a lie. I'm just I'm just yes-anding.
You son of a bitch, you're lying.
You know, I yes-and very defensively, Kyle, and you know this.
Please continue.
Anyway, we're going to talk about something a little close to that, but it's unproduced movies. Because usually, like, unreleased and unproduced, these are things that, like, didn't actually come out in one way or another.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you produce them for copyright, whatever, ownership reasons. Sometimes it just never comes to pass. So it's a little quiz, 5 questions, very short. About some of these unrealized projects in a quiz I'm calling How Didn't This Get Made? Oh, we're going to get sued.
Bring it on! It's fine.
Bring it on! I like it.
Just I got kidding. Money. I don't.
Nobody listens to us anyways. It's fine.
Bri's
it's
got
fine.
Money. Batcave money.
Yep.
We established that I do not have that money. Merc's but I will money. Have it. Wait. I will have it.
Somebody have money, please?
Please, somebody have money. Somebody will sell glasses. We'll tell people to buy glasses. Give us money.
Werbly Schmerkler. I always get my monocles from Werbly Schmerkler.
He doesn't even have a business. He's just like, I just want people talking about me. My name's Werbly Schmerkler.
And I'm here to say, I don't have a business.
You're the best.
That's
way.
It. I don't That's rhyme great. Either.
Nope, doesn't do nothing. So question number one. This is the quiz. So Joss Whedon has been attached to a number of superhero projects over the years. Perhaps for the best, they didn't get produced. How many do you think of these exist? Movies that he was involved in, superhero movies specifically, that never came to pass?
Three.
Five.
Merc got it 100% correct. He was supposed to make and let's follow the path here based on how we feel about Joss Whedon these days. He was writing at some point Batman Year One, which was supposed to be the Darren Aronofsky directed project that never quite happened, but then Batman Begins happened, so maybe that was better off. He was also attached to, I believe, write and direct Wonder Woman in 2005. Mm-hmm. And I believe right, the yep. script was leaked at some point. And maybe we should have known about Joss Whedon a little sooner than we did.
Oh, interesting.
I think there was some weird sexist, weird writing that was not... Anyway, and also he was supposed to do the Batgirl movie, I believe, as part of... working with Warner Brothers for a spell, which also I believe got mercifully canceled.
I'm honestly surprised there aren't more.
Yeah. Really, considering, yeah. I got a true and false question for you. So Merc gets that one. So Spider-Man before Sam Raimi came to pass, there's a number of projects that just never quite got off the ground as far as making him a movie character. True or false, is this one of them? A corporate scientist intentionally subjects the company ID badge photographer Peter Parker to a radioactive experiment that turns him into a hairy, eight-armed monster, like a spider monster, who then has to battle that scientist's other army of, like, mutations.
True, and that's the James Cameron one.
False, and this is a nightmare?
I hate to tell you, not for the reasons he described, but Merc is correct. This is true. In the 80s, I believe it was Canon Films. Canon
was
Films.
Was this after the Cronenberg Fly came out?
Maybe. Apparently, like, the producers of this movie, I forgot to write their names down, unfortunately, due to a misunderstood concept of the character, had their writer... write this, like, make this treatment for, like, make this script or treatment for this movie. And apparently, Stan Lee was extremely upset about it and basically made sure that got killed. Also,
good for you, Stan.
Who might have been considered or attached to direct this thing at some point? I'm just going to tell you.
James Cameron.
Toby Hooper from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Or Toby.
Oh, my God.
I assume Toby. Yeah.
You know what? So, fuck, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, for sure. It's a weird situation.
That'd be awesome.
No.
But it just seems It seemed like it has to be fake. But it's real. And we have to live with that now. Third question. Which of the following was not intended or attached or in talks to star as Wolverine in an X-Men movie? Viggo Mortensen. Glenn Danzig. Bob Hoskins or Clive Owen?
Glenn Danzig.
And this is Bob was Hoskins. Not, like, the one who was not considered.
Danzig was never really going to be Wolverine unless you were a wizard reader.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only place you ever saw it. But I will go with Bob Hoskins.
Yeah. I hate to tell you this. You're both. I mean, he was... apparently approached at some point and said, like, no. I don't know how serious that was, but then...
Approached by who?
apparently officially
a wizard raider,
Michael Graves. And he also asked at the same time, "Do you mind if I do all the songs?" And Danzig was like, "It's fine. It's fine. I got my own songs."
Mother, his mother.
Oh. Yeah. I'm going by officially based on the research, I'm sorry to say, and Merc, you're also incorrect. Bob Hoskins was actually.
What?
They had an 80s. There was an 80s movie. There was going to be like Wolverine and the X-Men, and they were going to have Bob Hoskins play Wolverine and Angela Bassett play Storm, which, it has to be said, would have been perfect.
Angela would have been.
Oh, I mean, Angela Bassett as Storm would have been perfect. Bob Hoskins and Wolverine would have been hysterical.
You know what? You know what that would have looked like? It would have looked like the Havoc and Wolverine mini, where he just looked like weird, frumpy, weird-haired.
Yeah,
Wolverine.
That'd be good.
Would have been the Bob Hoskins.
Just deeply unpleasant person. Yeah. The correct answer is Clive Owen. Viggo Mortensen was I believe, you know, in the run up to Hugh. So nobody got that. To hell with you.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Number four, which was the first actor considered, but never did because none of these were produced, considered to play Luke Cage in a 1991 movie that was not meant to be? John Singleton, Lawrence Fishburne, Will Smith, or Carl Weathers?
I gotta go with Larry Fishy.
You're correct. Apparently...
What?!
Yeah, really? Apparently in 1991, they were going to make a Luke Cage movie with Lawrence Fishburne, and I believe Tarantino was going to write and or direct it.
And Keanu Reeves as Danny Rand.
I did hear the Tarantino thing before. I have heard
that. So apparently it's supposed to be Lawrence Fishburne. So, but John Singleton was a bit of a fake out because he was apparently in talks to direct a Luke Cage movie in 2003. And also, I mean, like, that would work. That would work. But he wasn't supposed to act, I don't think. But that was like, you know, a decade. It was 12 years later. And the last question. So Kyle got one. The last question.
Finally.
Which of the following superheroes was Leonardo DiCaprio not once attached to play? Madman's not on the list because he's not a superhero.
Damn it.
Spider-Man, Aquaman, Robin, or Green Lantern?
Aquaman.
Robin.
I hate to tell you this. You're both wrong. Can anyone throw a... Well, it's pretty
Green
obvious
Lantern?
Now, I guess. Yeah.
Green
Lantern, Does that count for
a
point? Does that count for a point?
He was not attached to play Green Lantern?
No, he was not. He was supposed to be... He was attached to play Spider-Man in the Cameron movie.
Yeah.
Apparently in 2003, he was either attached or in talks to play Aquaman in a potential movie that didn't happen. Apparently.
Really?
And apparently he met with Joel Schumacher to potentially play Robin in Batman Forever.
But, and they said, you know, you don't look way too old enough to be Robin.
Not yet!
And you know what?
He can still play Robin. It can still happen.
Yeah,
he's gonna play Aquaman because he's got to go climb the water tower.
I don't know what that means. What is that a reference to?
No. What's eating Gilbert Grape?
Oh, I haven't seen that. It's. You know what? I don't think I've seen that.
It's been a long time.
I saw the all squirrel version from an episode of American Dad. I think.
It's just getting added to Netflix. I literally just got an email.
Jupiter's Legacy, gone. Gilbert Grape,
gone. Gilbert Grape,
welcome
you're
to
in.
The Grapeverse.
Yep, exactly.
That was Johnny Depp, right? Gilbert Grape?
Yep.
Yeah. Because sometimes I'm like, was it Johnny Depp or was it like some guy who looked like Johnny Depp? And I'm just thinking about Benny and June, which
I mean, that was also Johnny Depp.
Personally. It was Johnny Depp. Just like, was he in both of those movies or just one of them?
That's the early years of Johnny Depp when he was delightful and not weird and kind of.
Yeah, weird. He was just mostly a normal human being.
Yeah.
Who was occasionally killed by Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yes! I mean, so much blood. So much.
So much. So much.
There's the cursed Richards and Grimm drinking their delicious Rosencrantz coffee. This clever disguise will allow me to get my hands on their Rosencrantz They'll never know that it is I, Dr. Doom.
Anyway, Reed, the most important thing to know about the Yancey Street Gang is that they always carry...
Shut up, Ben. Hello there, stranger. Have we met?
No, I'm Dr. Friendly.
Well, hello there, Dr. Friendly.
What's that delicious smelling beverage you've got there?
Why this? It's Rosencrantz Roasting Company's Tale of Two Beans.
It smells flowery, nutty, somewhat herby.
Yeah, it's coffee. They roast it in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and you can get it a lot of places there, or straight from their website, rnccoffee.ca.
So aromatic.
Would you care for a cup, Dr. Friendly?
So fragrant.
Whoa, hey, this fucking asshole is actually Dr. Doom.
Sorry, Victor. This coffee is only for real doctors. And doctors' friends.
Yeah, my friend's a doctor.
But that's not true. You just said you could order it from rnccoffee.ca and that you can save 10% by using the code ZEROISSUES, all lowercase, at checkout.
I never said that. He's getting out of hand. Better tase him.
The weird thing is, I was thinking it.
Rosencrantz Roasting Company. Love the coffee you drink.
And drink the coffee you love.
What the f***?
I have a story, which I may have told on this podcast, but I think it would have been literally like 6 years ago, and relates direct...
Wait, hold on.
Sorry?
Stop 1 second. We never got to the point. Merc won, though it could technically be a tie. Sorry from the thing before. I'll let you continue in just 1 second. So, congratulations on your win, one or both of you. Continue.
Woo!
Damn it.
And this story relates directly with what we're talking about, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie. The first Comic-Con that I ever officially went to as... I might have been the first con I ever went to at all, but it was the first one I went to as a vendor... was the Winnipeg Comic Con. I totally can't remember what year, but I went with the two guys, Matthew Jowett and Andrew Sukram, who I did Victor's Legacy, my first book with, which Victor's Legacy is about, it's a continuation of the Frankenstein story, and the monster, we called him William. This is important to the story. So we called him William. So when we went to this thing, we were all super excited. We're like, oh my God, we're going to have a table. We're going to sell some books and some posters and merch and whatever we're doing. So I made up shirts, like individual shirts, one-offs for each of us, the three of us. And the one that I made for myself, there's that iconic shot of Iron Man breaking the chains over his head from the 70s. And it's like Iron Man Unchained or something. I did that with our Frankenstein William character, and it said William Unchained underneath.
Rad.
So I did that, and that was the shirt I had on. So while we're at the con, it's like the first day, and we're super excited. We're like giddy as schoolboys. Like, this is like, we're just geeking out. We're like, we don't know what we're doing at all, but we're just having fun. And there's people going by, and it's fairly early in the first day. And we see this woman go by, and she has a couple people with him. And then she turns to me and looks directly at me and is like, and I'm like, yeah, what? And just has this look of like weird recognition or fixation that I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. She runs up
Why
to me and she's like,
birds
and we fell in love. Mm-hmm. But she's like, that shirt. I love that shirt. And
I it must
says,
have
like
it.
I said, will you? William Unchained. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. I'm like, thanks. I go, it's based off our book. And I started to go into the pitch or something. And she's like, no. She's like, my partner's name is William. And that shirt would be amazing for him. And I had like a brain fart. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, I only have one of these shirts. Like, this isn't
and
this
it's
wasn't
on my
for
body.
Sale. and it's on my body.
And you weren't even selling shirts at the time yet, were you?
No, I had no, I had zero shirts. So like, I was like, well, I'm like, the only one I have is literally on my body at the moment. And I got the sense that she was a vendor. And I was like, I can get it to you tomorrow. She goes, oh, yeah, that'd be totally fine. I'm right over there. I'm Rebecca Stab. And it clicks. She's Rebecca Stab, the actress who plays Invisible Woman in the Roger Corman 1994 Fantastic Four. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Because I did look up the list originally of who was going to be at this con and particularly saw her. Because as I'm holding up right now, I do have a horrible bootleg copy of that movie. And I was like, oh, I'm making maybe make, get her to sign it or something.
Yeah.
And so the next day I show up, I've taken that shirt off and put another shirt on. Mm-hmm. Went and I was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm a goofy, awkward comic book guy. How do I approach? There's like a line of people like waiting to get autographs and get pictures and whatever with her. And I kind of goofily walk up. I'm like, I hold up the shirt. Yuck. Like, hey, it's me. And she goes, oh, hey, come here, come here. And she waves me past the entire line. And I feel like a prince for a day.
Yeah.
And I walk up and I'm like, yes, I can walk past all of you peasants. And I give her the shirt. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. She goes, what do you want to exchange? Like, I'll give you, do you want something signed or whatever? She goes, I'll give you a DVD signed. And in my head, I'm like, I already have a DVD, but my DVD is actually kind of not working super well. But yes, I'll take that signed. So here, as I'm presenting to them, a second DVD from this bootleg movie signed by Rebecca Stab.
Wonderful.
Cool.
And that was my first Comic-Con starstruck story.
Did she look at all like Maria Bamford?
Yes.
Yes. If I knew who Maria Bamford was, I would say yes.
I think it was, what, season 4 of Arrested Development?
Yeah.
One of the plots was involved comedian Maria Bamford playing, you know, sort of a fictionalized version of whoever played the Invisible Woman in the unreleased Fantastic Four movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's shit. It's pretty wonderful.
Okay. I will have
Your
to check
story's
that
better
down.
Than mine.
It sounds like Rebecca Stab is doing much better. Much better than this character was.
And also, let me just point out that my DVD is in widescreen. Because nothing is more important for an unreleased B-movie than aspect ratio.
Very much so. Well, I found it streaming on YouTube very legally, but nobody yes. cares. Yep. I believe there was full screen and widescreen versions, so I might have been watching a rip from your DVD.
I watched the full screen version, which I think it was just the widescreen version cropped, because there were some scenes where you could just see sort of part of a character's ear as they were turned sideways talking to another character who you could only see part of the ear of. I was like, this is a very, very close shot.
That's what every widescreen or every full screen version is just widescreen cropped.
You just chop those babies off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Just
yeah.
chop those babies off. So this was made in 1994, as we've said, produced by Roger Corman and Bernt Eichinger, directed by Roger Corman, as it turns out. I thought it was.
No, he was the executive producer.
Yeah. He was like a producer on it. Director was Ole Sassone. Sassone? I don't know.
Sassone?
Sassone. And it was written by Craig Nevius and Kevin Rock. Which we must admit, pretty good name.
Pretty good name.
Pretty bad script.
It was about on par with any comic book movie being made at the time.
Really,
frankly.
You know what? Wow. Yeah. Like, for what it was at the time. Yeah.
It was fine. It could have done with a few more millions of dollars put into effect and maybe a rewrite or two. But
it's not even the worst Fantastic Four movie. It just isn't.
It's like it's the second best, I would argue.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But let's bring that up, because I don't know if we've actually said that for people that aren't aware, this movie was never intended to be released.
No.
This was
You know who knew that? Nobody working on the movie.
Except for the producers knew it, and then Marvel executives
yes,
knew it.
Yes, but like, none of the actors, none of the lighting, none nope, of the people nope, doing the special effects knew. Or the score.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was like a copyright issue. Like, if you don't utilize your copyright in some way, you end up losing your copyright. So the idea was, we just need to utilize this copyright in some way. We're going to make the movie. It'll never get released. It was never intended to see the light of day. We're going to hire Roger Corman. He's going to do this thing up, and then we'll walk away from it, and then we've retained our rights for X number of years, however it is.
Yeah, so we can make a really good Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, really.
Anytime
we
now.
We can't wait for... We're just going to wait for Jessica Alba to be born, mm-hmm. and then
we'll happen. We got to wait for Idle Hands to come out a few years after yeah. Idle Hands, then we'll do it.
So, yeah, that this thing was made, and obviously, like, with such an incredibly low budget, that's what... It was intentional, because... They weren't going to ever throw money at it because they were like, we don't care what it looks like. We don't care what it does because it doesn't matter. So
it has to technically exist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is. Yeah. And again, like, and you say low budget, its budget was $2 million.
Yikes.
And I believe they filmed this in less than a month. I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks at most.
It was a 25-day shoot.
Yeah, oh, 25. Was it
only that?
Yeah,
so, wow.
Yeah. $2 million, and I mean, like, you know, I mean, it was 1994 money, but that wasn't a lot of money to make a movie. That was, like, nothing.
Still,
that
even then, no.
Still horrendous, yeah. So, I mean, the fact that they made a movie is almost kind of a miracle.
But you know what? At the same time, like, we're saying that it's like, the second best. It's pretty... true to the
yeah.
to the source material.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn close. Closer than any of the other ones.
Yeah, like it's kind of it's a little goofy, it's a little campy, it's a little, you know, like those weird angles and a lot of low lighting shots to hide the fact that it was
yeah.
so cheaply done, but like, you know, more money would have made it look prettier, but I don't know that it would have made it any better than what we got through the power of imagination.
It's true.
So there's Alex Hyde White as Reed, Jay Underwood as Johnny Storm, Rebecca Stab as Sue Storm, Michael Bailey Smith as Ben, the Thing, Joseph Culp as Dr. Doom.
Well, I mean, just hang on a second there. So the Thing was played by two people.
Oh yeah.
The one guy played Ben Grimm, and I can't remember the other person's name, but played like in the costume.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't realize
and they
that.
Actually they worked together so that they could like share mannerisms.
Why would you not put
Yeah, because the actor that played Ben Grimm was actually physically bigger than the guy that played the Thing.
Yeah, that's
so like when he turned there's a scene in the movie where he turns back from you know, the rock monster into just regular human yeah. Ben Grimm, and he's taller.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, he's actually, when you're looking at his background.
He's no Chiklis,
he
let me
was
tell
in
you.
The,
no, good luck.
He was a former, Michael Bailey Smith is a former paratrooper. He's ex-Dallas Cowboys until he had a knee injury. And then he became a bodybuilder. So.
Then he decided to get big.
Yeah. Maybe I'll start working out.
Yeah.
He's a big weird mouth engineer.
A big weird mouth engineer?
Sure. He's got a big weird mouth. He knows big weird mouths. He can make big weird mouths for you.
I'm Ben Grimm.
That's what he's got a big weird mouth. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like that's weird that you would. Why wouldn't you put the same guy and just make the Thing bigger.
For all the cool stunts that the Thing does.
Yeah, really.
You know.
Yeah. Walking.
Yeah. Walking.
Sitting.
Getting his face touched. Approaching two women. In what is apparently, when they shot that, that's neither of those guys in the costume. That's somebody else because they had to go out and get some gorilla footage because they needed a couple shots of the Thing in like walking around Manhattan. and it was just some other guy who put the costume on.
Just whoever. I like the reaction rules of those two, because the first one was sort of just like, who are you? Like, didn't even seem that. The second one seemed a little scared, but the first one was just like, ugh, talking to me.
Another rock guy is bugging me.
He just walks up to Scott Thompson and Dave Foley as the prostitutes from Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, that would be... no.
A much better movie!
You need to leave me alone.
Phenomenal. Yeah, Joseph Culp, you said, played Doom. He sure did.
The whole movie starts with George Gaines, who plays the professor, who, when that begins, I was like, wow, this is Police Academy. It begins in Police Academy. George Gaines, who played Commandant Lassard, famously in the Police Academy movies, plays the professor of Victor Von Doom and Reed Richards. Kind of going over stuff in the class, and I cannot see or hear his voice without thinking of Police Academy. So it just seemed like some weird continuation of Police Academy.
It's part of the extended universe. Yeah.
It's all the same universe.
Yeah. Just wait. Disney has now purchased Police Academy, so it could happen for real.
They're all there. Sweet Chuck, Hightower. I don't know any of the other characters.
They're all there.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Mahoney. And the whole movie revolves around Colossus, which is as they describe it, a radioactive comet-like energy source. Which is
So super in the scientific movie, it gives them their powers, and it can also give other people powers, and it can transfer powers.
Yeah.
Do anything you want.
No idea. Yep.
There's also the very fancy diamond that is sort of a MacGuffin of the movie. The diamond, which was supposed to protect them from this meteor in space, but Dr. Doom, you know, swearing revenge against Richards, goes to steal it, but then discovers that this leprechaun-esque jeweler character, who is definitely not the Mole Man, has already stolen it. So he's like, well, fair enough.
That's just
fine. I was like, I'm looking at this jeweler character. This movie needed
a second villain, just to be a foil. Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking at this jeweler character, and I'm like, who is this? Like, what is going on? I was like, it's like Buddy Hackett in 1986's Troll movie playing Fagin in Oliver Twist.
Yeah, oh, he's a very Joel Schumacher character.
Yes.
Like, what the hell is
more
going
purple
on?
Lights.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
And just so, like, for the entire movie, all of the set dressing and everything was so minimalist until you get to the jeweler.
Well, they blow all their money on jeweler stuff.
And that's where they they spent all their money down there. I was like, what? All the costume money, everything just went to...
All the Tom Waits money. Tom Waits was there.
All the Tom Waits money, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, his one henchman did look like Tom Waits via Goofy.
Definitely did.
Tom Waits had sex with Goofy.
Yeah, and that was the result.
Yep.
I feel like Canon films were definitely like, listen, this jeweler character is going to catch on. It's technically not the Mole Man. We technically own the jeweler. Let's push the jeweler. They thought they had a franchise on their hands. The jeweler was going to be like the new Freddy.
Okay, so do you think it's Mole Man? I thought more Puppeteer. I thought that's what they were trying. Puppeteer has a connection with
the
Alicia.
Puppet Master is her father in the comics.
But Mole Man lives underground.
It's true. It's very strange. It's very strange. And it's weird, because like that struck me as extremely weird, because like they did as comic-y as hell, like Doctor Doom, like the armor was right out of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's bang on.
They went for it with Doctor Doom, and then for some reason they got to the Mole Man, they're just like, I don't know, is anyone going to buy this? Are you kidding me? What did you do? Oh, they couldn't afford the Moloids. That makes sense, because those would be like other costumes, like other like...
But, I mean, they did have Dr. Doom's henchmen, which were, you know, they weren't Doombots, but they were guys also in green robes.
Oh, totally close to
Doombots. With gray painted faces.
That's true.
Yep.
They were just, like, part of, like, Dr. Doom's fan club.
The Doomies.
They were, Yeah, they also had Doom written on their chests, and they were going to cheer when Dr. Doom scored goals.
So, okay, the basic rundown for those who, unfortunately, have not watched this movie.
But you can for free, because it's on YouTube.
You can't.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, absolutely. It's basically this Colossus comet comes through, and initially it's Reed and Victor Doom working together. They've created this thing to harness the energy. So it's like Tesla. We're going to create free energy. We're going to do this. We're going to harness this thing as it goes by. And it goes horribly wrong, as like it does. I can't even remember what the original comic version, what they were trying to do. But there was some sort of experiment they were doing, went horribly wrong. But it explodes, and Victor, in the comic, is horribly disfigured, and that's why he has the mask.
Yeah.
In the movie, it says he's killed, but there's these two goons who weirdly show up. Like, at the start, they're just chess goons. Then they're Latverian goons who are like, they give no explanation to this, but they would call him the Highness. And then he's like, they never actually say Latveria, I don't think.
I don't recall
that whole movie.
You know what? I'm not sure that they do. That's an interesting point.
There's just
even when Doom is like, oh, you know, like I'm this is my country and I'm its ruler, but I'm not going to say the name of it. But bring the kids.
Yep.
whole movie. Whenever Dr. Doom was in the his costume, he just reminded me of Rick Moranis in Spaceballs.
Yeah, you're totally right.
What
you're
a
totally
goof! Right.
Let's go to Ludacrispy.
He was a big damn clown. He was.
Let's do the quick rundown of what happens. So, like, that happens. Reed goes on, and it's like 10 years later, and then he thinks that Victor died.
Right,
and
he's got some white hair now. Otherwise, he looks.
He's
the exact
got a little
same.
Like a flash, a bit of white hair, and he gets Ben, who was in the Air Force, and he was a pilot. You're going to be my pilot, and we're going to go to space. So who are we going to take? And it had been introduced, Johnny Storm and Sue Storm.
Who were small like, children.
Children!
Small
ten
children.
10 years ago, they were small children, but now they're full adults.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and it's awkward because Susan, at the time, even as a child, has a crush on Reed. And she's like, ooh, dreamy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, this is not good.
Thing I noticed, who was played by Mercedes McNabb, who was the young Sue, who was Harmony on Buffy and Angel, if anyone watched those shows.
Really?
Yep, pretty fun.
Because she just looked like Stephanie Tanner. I expected her to say, how wooed.
Oh, that's true. I was looking at her going, she looks like somebody, and I couldn't.
I'm very disappointed, Reed.
It couldn't click.
That's one of those, that aspect there was more, that was like I'm pretty sure a John Byrne run thing, where they like introduced this flashback where they first met when she was like 12 or something, which is just a very John Byrne decision, I think. In the original comics, they never really specified when they met each other, and they're pretty sure since, and the Matt Fraction was doing the Fantastic Four book. I'm pretty sure everyone was just like, can we just, like, redo when they met each other and just retcon that out of existence? And they did. So I think they were, as far as I know, they were both, one of them wasn't a child.
Perfect. That's the way, as it should
so
be.
So it looked like both, in the movie, both Reed and Ben were, like, boarding at this house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were renting at this house. And the Storm's parent mother, there was no father present, at least in
So they get on a rocket, they go to space. The diamond that they had to protect them from the effects of the Colossus comet had been swapped out for a fake by the jeweler. And so
this is this weird secondary story of the jeweler breaking in to get this big diamond cluster.
Because he wants to give it to Alicia Masters, who he's in love with.
Yeah. Who Alicia Masters, if you don't know, is in the comics and in this movie, a blind sculptress who eventually in the comics marries Ben Grimm. And Johnny Storm.
Well, that one was a Skrull. That one was a Skrull.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was there a we Skrull.
Go. Right. It was a Skrull.
This is the show you're listening to.
Yep.
Exactly. Who's that Skrull?
So, yeah, in the movie, then this jeweler takes that and it switches it out with a fake one. So, therefore, they go up in the spaceship and it's supposed to diffuse the heat and energy from this comet, and it doesn't work. So the spaceship explodes. And let me just point out that this spaceship explodes in space.
Yes.
But they land like they just fell out of a hot air balloon.
They're just...
Like it was like nothing happened.
Well, because
there's
fantastic.
Just a little bit of.
That's true.
Everybody's fantastic. Okay. Not burned up.
Not just floating in space as a corpse. Somehow just got rocket launched right back to Earth, right into the atmosphere, and didn't burn up and die.
Everything's fine. It just looks like a car crash, really. It looks like a little bit of wreckage. And, like, literally, Ben runs up.
Low budget first episode of Lost.
Yeah.
Ben runs up to and finds Reed, and his arm is sticking out, and he's literally, like, got a, like, just a one sheet of metal on him. Oh, you're just under that sheet of metal.
Yeah.
You're not embedded 16 feet in the ground.
Right.
You're okay.
No. He's
Everything's
fine.
Fine.
He's fine.
He's fine. Shake it off. You're a big boy.
So they get up and they start discovering their powers, and they're picked up by military scientists who bring them to a
military
lab, and there's this doctor who tries to take their blood, and he has a wacky time trying to do that.
How
you gonna take someone's
relief.
Blood when they're invisible and they move behind you?
I gotta tell you they do
nothing with Sue Storm in this movie. Nothing.
No.
Nope.
No. But I, as far as I'm concerned, corny comedy doctor should be introduced to Marvel Comics canon.
Mm.
That guy's all right.
He comes back later because he is, as it's revealed to the audience, is reporting to Dr. Doom.
Yes.
Yes.
What he's found when he investigates it, and then has an awkward...
Oh, God.
Possible sexual assault experience with Dr. Doom.
It was very weird.
It was super weird. As
I thought it was fine.
He's Dr. Doom in this, like when he's in his armor and everything. In this movie, when he likes to move his fingers a lot. Everything he does in camera, he has to have his hands and fingers.
Well, because
in the shot.
You can't emote it all with the face, so you have to emote with your fingers.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of head movement, and I get that, but the thing is, they add the noise of the clackety clack,
and you already can't understand what Dr. Doom is saying.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's
weird. He was really camping it up. I mean, you listen. You hire the culp, you get the culp.
Yep.
He was hamming it up, having a great time, and I really wish I could hear it like I was, not like I was listening through a tin can phone the whole time. That was like, why? Apparently, they literally recorded him while he was wearing this thing, and he was like, am I going to dub over this? Anyone can make it out? They're like, nah.
Yeah, he called in asking about like doing ADR, and they were like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
It sounds too good when you're in the mask.
Yeah. And that was the basis for Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
That's correct. Yeah. That's true now, because we said it.
It's true.
So then they, you know, they run into Dr. Doom. They beat up all his bad guys. How do they get away? They just do.
And this is one of the weird things. It's like there's so many like odd plot points where they're in this facility and they're being kept kind of prisoner. And they're like, we think we're getting investigated and being tested by the military.
By like the U.S. government.
Doctors and stuff. Yeah. But it turns out they start to kind of investigate and go out. They break out of their rooms and discover that something else is going on. And then they go to leave, and they actually have a face-to-face with Dr. Doom. And then all these guys come out with guns. Everybody's got, like, there's 20 guys with M16s. But like stormtroopers, nobody can hit anything.
Mm.
They're shooting, and nobody barely moves. But they're like, ew, I'm going to roll. I'm fine. And nobody gets hit. Everybody's fine. And then literally, the thing busts through the wall And then it's like, cutscene, they're in New York. Like, that was the escape.
Yeah.
Like, there's no of like, where were you? How did you get away? What is going on? Yet still better than the other Fantastic Four movies. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So they go back. Sue Storm has made them costumes. The Thing is distraught because he's a rock man and he wants to be a Mega Man.
Yep. Who doesn't?
And,
yep.
And he wanders the streets.
Yeah, he wanders the streets.
He goes on walkabout.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sad. He can't, you know, he can't get a hot dog to save his life. He doesn't have money. He's just wearing pants. He doesn't have a shirt on. That's the one thing about Ben Grimm. Just like, put some damn clothes on.
Yep.
Rocks aren't hot clothes when it's your skin.
Yeah.
You're not going to get cold. You're not going to get hot. You're fine.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, Ben Grimm, if he wasn't transformed, would be like an old man who just won't wear a shirt, but he pulls his pants up real tight and he's walking around like this.
He's like an old Polish guy that's like, oh, if I...
Yeah.
Like Jack Kirby eventually was.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Jack Kirby's doing his yard work and he doesn't want to deal with you right now.
And so, in the meantime, the jeweler has kidnapped Alicia Masters and wants to, like, marry her and give her this giant diamond as sort of a wedding thing. While the Thing is walking around, he's picked up by one of the jeweler's associates who's like, hey, you're clearly very distraught. You're an outcast. Come join my merry band of outcasts with, you know, our leader, the jeweler. He's brought there. And he discovers that, you know, the jeweler has kidnapped Alicia Masters, who he met very briefly, and she touched his face, which is what all blind people do to tell if you're a good person. That's how that works.
Yeah, apparently.
Is what movies have taught me.
That's what I do.
You know, and it was very strange, too, because, like, she did that, and he was also, like, very, very handsy with her.
Boy, howdy, was he?
Yeah.
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 Let me just pick you up, lady.
He accidentally walks past her and knocks her down.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you accidentally walk past her? You're like, oh my god, I'm sorry, you knock somebody down. You literally pick them up by the waist and lift them up in the air.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, here is a sexual assault charge in the making. Mm. Yeah.
The weirdest thing is, of all the dudes in this movie, Johnny Storm might be the least creepy one. He's the one you have to worry about the least. Because Ben Grimm got a little molesty. Reed Richards was...
He's all hands.
That's a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
Well, yes, he's all hands, but his future wife he met when she was 12 years old and he was an adult. And that Dr. Doom face molesting scene...
He's...
I don't know. That did not seem consensual. So, Johnny, weirdly enough, you're not...
Dr. Doom, like that massaging thing that he did with that doctor's face... Originally, it looked like he was trying to intimidate him, but then it just became very sexual and very weird.
Yeah, he got out some hot stones and put them on his back and
little Reiki. Yeah.
Doom was having a great time, and that much was obvious. But like later on in the movie, the reverse kind of happens when there's some face touching going on, and like the thing is he makes some faces and sounds that made me very uncomfortable.
And then, I guess, you know, Ben decides, oh, I'm not a monster. And he goes home.
Yep.
That's what happens.
He goes
That's
home.
What happens in the movie. I didn't write it.
That's what happened.
And then they all decide to go to Latveria because Dr. Doom's machine has been finished. His machine that's going to harness the power of this comet that comes by every 10 years.
They do figure out that Victor Von Doom, who he thought was dead... is actually Dr.
Wait,
Doom.
Wait, Victor Von Doom and Dr. Doom are the same guy?
I know,
but
what
Victor never graduated because of the fire. And the and the hand-drawn lightning.
How did you become
a
doctor?
How can you be a
doctor? It's an honorary degree.
Mm.
That's a perfectly Reed Richards, I think that would be wonderful.
It's an honorary degree from Trump University.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not shocked you're alive, I'm just shocked you're pretending you're successful.
So they get in the Fantastic Car and they go to Latveria and they fight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, Doom gets knocked off a building and Reed sort of catches him and he's like, no, there's still time. We can, you know, be friends. And then Doom scratches him and fall. Or no, he doesn't scratch him. His robot glove pops off.
Well, yeah. His gauntlet breaks off because it's American made glove. You know, you totally always need to go with the German gauntlet because there's much better made. This American made one just popped right off and he's like, ah, clickety clackety, and he falls to his death.
But as he goes, he's sort of like, yeah, I win. He's like, you didn't win. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're dead.
Oh, because there's a missile that's been launched to do something.
Is it a missile or it's a laser?
It's a laser. But what's faster than a laser? A human torch, I guess.
We're not saying this is well done.
Yeah. So CGI powers activate and the human torch flames on and flies after this laser and stops it.
Yep.
Somehow. It felt like it kind of shot him around a little bit. Like, it shot him in the butt, I think, one time. It almost looked like. Ouch!
Yeah. It was the worst. It looked like a weird... It was, like, weird video game, early video game animation.
I mean, he didn't so much turn into the Human Torch as he did the Game Genie.
Yeah. So this laser goes out. He's like, I can stop it. And then animates and becomes this animated Human Torch. Flies after it, gets to the front of it, and does the tumble thing, and it's the weirdest minute or two you'll see in this movie, which looks remarkably different from every other scene in the movie.
And then they win, and they celebrate with a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
Ben and Johnny, finally you two. Yeah. And they drive and, away.
Reed sticks his hand up from the sunroof of the limo.
The wacky inflatable tube man just...
sticks out his 8-foot arm and just waves it. Like, you could just see the guy almost through the window that's holding the piece of wood underneath.
Yeah, it was Frank the whole Oz arm, and Jim Henson.
Like, just... Yeah, just... Right.
Phenomenal.
So I got to the end of this movie and I was like, I need to try to sum it up. This is what I came up with. A pedo scientist takes a friend and two kids into space, which is doomed by his scientific arrogance right from the start, resulting in them becoming weird, freaky things, while an old, awkward school chum who likes to cosplay a lot plots revenge. And there's a side narrative of homeless people kidnapping the visually impaired. Key points being minimalist sets and everyone shoots like stormtroopers and we need to use at least 5% stock footage.
Oh, the explosion. Yeah,
a lot of that was straight from Chud.
Yeah. Chud. the after credit scene, if you saw that, they just took like Frank Langella as Skeletor popping out of the water saying, I'll be back, but just pasted Dr. Doom's face on it.
Nice.
Was that at the end?
No, good lord, no.
Oh, God. I was like, oh, God, did I miss that? Oh, God.
You'd believe it, though. That's the thing.
I totally would. Yeah.
We sort of glossed past this. There was one moment in particular that, like, really made me love this movie. It's when they were going to be shot at, I believe, by the stormtroopers or whatever. There was a fight scene. Like, Dr. Doom's there and is like, kill them, and then leaves or whatever he said. And then the Fantastic Four get away. And then it cuts... Dr. Doom comes back in the room, and they're gone. And he's just sort of like, aww.
He makes he makes an audible sound.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where he's like,
He's like, ooh. Okay.
He's just... Yeah. I love this Dr. Doom. He's just so bad at everything. He just can't get it together. This is like the Dr. Doom I want.
I went through their IMDb lists. And like every one of these actors has done a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
They're not big name actors. They haven't been like the main stars in Hollywood blockbusters or anything, but they've been pretty consistently working the whole time. A ton of them have been like in CSI and NCIS.
Yeah.
All of those sort of things. Alex Hyde-White, who played Reed in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He played young Henry Jones.
Oh.
He played young Sean Connery.
Oh.
At least three of them have been in VIP.
Oh, uh-oh. Really?
Yeah.
The show where Pamela Anderson is a bodyguard for hire?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Never heard of it.
Jay Underwood, who played Johnny Storm, do you remember Uncle Buck?
Yes.
Yes.
He was the boyfriend, Bug, the boyfriend of the girl who in that movie. Also, he kind of retired from acting, and he has become a pastor in California now.
Hmm.
Rebecca Stab's been in Dexter, Glee, NCIS, Cheers, Seinfeld, Ellen, Wonder Years, 90210, Drew Carey,
Merck's Dreams,
everything. Michael Bailey Smith, who played Ben, like I said, Buffy. He was in the Conan TV series.
Oh wow, look at that.
Yeah,
but he wasn't Conan, was he?
No.
He wasn't Conan, though.
I think he do prosthetics kind of characters a lot, I'm assuming, where he plays like a monster.
I see a lot of horror characters through his. So I think just because of his size, he just played that sort of horror character thing. A couple of them have been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
Alex Hyde-White, who is Reed, played Lord Thornley in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Joseph Culp, who was Doom, was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He played Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Ha!
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that's when they were time traveling, I think. I haven't really got there yet.
Yeah.
Space FDR! Yeah. So, I mean, they've got those kind of good careers,
I think.
They're
fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. They got regular work in, TV. You know, they're doing fine. They're just living a comfortable lifestyle and not being a superstar, and that is perfectly respectable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of heart went into this movie. It might not be the best, but it's reasonable for how much money they had and how much time they had.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this in a month.
Oh, good Lord. I've seen much worse comic movies than this. I've seen, there's some really bad comic movies that got released. So, I mean, this isn't as bad as
I have the DVDs of most of them.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
kind of a
crappy thing that happened, but, you know, glad everyone's doing fine. It didn't destroy anyone.
Yep.
It was just sort of a crappy thing.
But I think I'm glad. I'm glad it existed. This is the only time you got kind of a comics accurate looking versions of these characters in live action. Doom armor for a low budget movie, not too bad.
Yeah.
Someone walking.
It actually looks better than several of the other ones.
Yes.
So.
Big fans.
All right. I guess that should wrap that up for this episode.
Yes.
Thank you again, as always, for listening to our little tiny show. Please share if you can. Spread it around if you like it. Every little bit helps. We do this for nothing. We don't get paid for this stuff. So,
give us money!
Yeah. We do it for fun and love.
We do it for fun.
And
we are looking for a possible sponsorship, though.
Oh, yeah. We're always open.
Yeah.
But our current sponsor, thank you. Thank you ever so much for this current sponsor, Rosencrantz Roasting Company. Check out their coffee, rnccoffee.ca, RNC Coffee on the social medias, all over the place. Tasty, tasty coffee.
Mm-hmm. Best damn coffee you can buy.
It's very, very good. Enjoy it a lot.
Human dollars.
I'll just say that my testimonial, I am not a huge coffee drinker, but my wife is a huge coffee drinker. And she just
only huge coffee.
Given her some beans, and in our espresso maker, she had just gone through and she feels bad. She's like, I don't want to waste beans. So she goes through those and then she just finished the quote unquote good coffee. It wasn't that good. And then finally got back to Rosencrantz coffee and she literally sent them a message and was like, oh my God, Yeah, Jesse was like, can we use that as a testimonial? Because it was not like an ad of like, oh my God, your coffee is 10 times better than this. It's so delicious. So there you go. Free testimonial. Fantastic stuff. Thank you as always to Ocean City Defender for all the music and interstitials. Ocean City Defender, not the game, the music. K. Preston Merkley, check him out. You can check out myself, merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca, Merc on Facebook, Merconaut, like astronaut on Instagrams. And over to Kyle.
So my name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or just thekylelees on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatnot. You're going to like the things that you see with your eyes. I guarantee it? With a question mark. So it's not... If I say it with a question mark, it's different from the other guy's slogan.
Yeah. I feel like that's transformative, right? Is that what they would call that? Transformative.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Fair use. Yeah.
There you go. And I'm Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. And I'm on Instagram under BryKotyk. That's the only thing I'm on. Don't look into it.
Oh, do look into it.
Don't. Please don't.
Well, until next time, this is Kyle saying it's clobbering time.
It's clobbering time for real.
I do believe indeed that it is clobbering time.
It's clobbering time.
That was just rambling and should be cut. I also
allow it. I'm a judge.